once again, everybody. Initial Reaction, the podcast that you've been waiting several weeks for, presumably, is back on the air. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm with Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers.
Hello, dear friend. My name is J.P. Cadoran, and I work for Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. I host Sports Weekly, and I just kind of bounce around doing what I feel like.
That's a fantastic life you have there.
It's not bad.
I heard you actually went golfing even to in the name of sports coverage. Is that correct?
I worked on Wednesday.
At Erin Hills.
Yes, I worked at one of the nicest golf courses in America, so showed up for a 10 a.m. press conference, and then kind of shut it down.
For those in the industry, a 10 a.m. press conference is akin to the nicest day at work ever because you don't have to get up early and then you get to go golfing. That's fantastic. Who was in your foursome?
Foursome was made up of the Benjamin Wargle.
Okay.
From BadgerNation.com.
Yes.
The Lance Allen from today's TMJ4 HD. And the Justin Hull from The Score, AWHBY Radio in Appleton.
Now, nothing against some of those guys, but is the Badger
Nation...
sounds like
you're about to say something against one of those
guys.
Well,
I mean, Justin Hull, I really like the guy. Okay. He's in the Fox Cities. I don't know... well, I guess there's some regional appeal even up there for what's going to happen.
Oh, 100%. There were Green Bay news stations, TV stations down there.
Well, I mean, Benjamin Orgel, I love the guy, but what does the Badger Nation have to do with a golf tournament that's going to happen?
Just because
in a couple
you're
years?
A Badgers writer doesn't mean you can't write about golf. I mean, you're a preps writer, but you could write a story on professional golf, could you not?
I suppose, if there were some
now,
sort of
local
angle.
I don't know how he got invited.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of where I was going with that. No, nothing against him. I like the guy.
Sounds like you have something against
him. He's certainly a better journalist than you are, so...
not hard to do.
I know. But I do want to talk a little more about golf, because this past week made things very interesting.
It did.
For potentially an upcoming tournament in Wisconsin.
It did.
I wanted to start with the Milwaukee Bucks basketball organization.
You may.
They drafted Rashad Vaughn in the first round of Thursday night's NBA draft. A couple local products went as well. For those of you that are living in a cave, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Kevon Looney, and J.P. Tokuno were all taken at points in the draft, the first three in the first round.
The better-looking J.P.? I think I feel confident. More athletic, better-looking, better at basketball. I could probably beat him in hockey.
Okay, if you say so. I don't know if he's ever... well, I don't know. He may have some hockey background.
I'm going to find out, and I'm going to beat him.
Well, in any event, he almost did not get drafted.
Yeah,
there were about
close.
Three picks to go. But I want to start with the Bucks pick first. I definitely... was surprised to see Rashad Vaughn get taken. He does fit somewhat what they were looking at shooting guard. I kind of thought they might try to make a play up for Devin Booker when he went off the board. I thought they'd go down. They did make a trade for Grievous Vasquez, which is kind of its own, which is really a bigger story than who they picked in the first round. I guess as you looked at it, you went to the Bucks media session Friday where they talked to Rashad Vaughn talked to the media and the big players talked to the media. What are your takeaways from this tonight?
Yeah, spent a lot of time at the Orthopedic Hospital of Wisconsin Training Center now, at their practice.
Are you really going to do this?
At the OHOW.
How would you say, for example, Fox City Stadium in Appleton? Would you say, like, neuroscience field at
Fox City Stadium?
All right.
Now, 2 years ago, I would call it Time Warner Cable Field in Appleton.
Got it. Okay.
Now, I call it Fox City Stadium in Appleton.
I see where you're going with that.
Gotcha.
We'll go back to the Bucks.
You got it? All right. So, anyway, I've been at their practice facility a lot the past couple weeks. Rashad Vaughn was in for a workout on Monday. I was also in for the workout on Monday. However, he did his interview 20 minutes before media were even told to get there. They told us to get there at 12:15. By the time I got there at 12 o'clock, he had already started.
I don't understand. So who did he do his interview with?
There were still some media there. Some people got really early.
So you get invited and then you come an hour early and then you might be able to get the interview? That makes no sense.
No, that was the only time. In the entire, like, they had six or seven workouts. That was the only time they started early.
Great. Just so happens and it happens to be the guy they drafted. Took. Yeah, okay.
So no practice footage, no interviews.
So we know who he is and that's about it.
Yes. But back to the actual pick itself. I was also surprised, more so because of who was left on the board. Like, I felt that there were still six or seven guys that they liked, and obviously there were, including one that they liked. But there were still so many guys that they liked that they could have traded down. They could have taken somebody who I felt was a better pick, somebody like Bobby Portis, somebody like RJ Hunter, maybe. But as we saw from Hunter, he ended up falling quite a bit. I was probably wrong on that one. And Portis went to, of course, the Bulls, because where else would somebody that you want go play? So I was just shocked just because of the other people that were there. It certainly fills a need. I mean, it certainly was a great pick. I mean, it was an athletic shooting guard who will create his own shot, who was one of the best. I think he was the best player at his position coming out of high school, out of Minnesota. So I'm, you know, he's good and he's what they needed. I just didn't expect it to happen.
Yeah, and he's only 18 years old. Just a freshman.
I didn't know that they could possibly get younger.
They did, though, didn't they? Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that was, you're right. Portis was definitely a guy that had been linked to the Bucks ad nauseum. A lot of vitriol about them not taking Sam Decker, who was available and wound up going 19th.
That's two picks later. Crap.
Yeah, I'm not into that either. I don't get it. I don't know if he's necessarily a great fit. He certainly isn't the lights out shooter that they were looking for. And I mean, he's a nice player, but I don't know why they would have just taken him just because he happens to be from the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. No team operates that way. Well, no, maybe some do, but no, not this one.
Yeah, that was such crap. And any time for PR moves is over with this team.
Yeah, I mean, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, they're about winning now. And John Hammond said as much. It's like, listen, you have Giannis and Jabari Parker. Like, Sam Decker was not going to be a starting player on this year's or next year's or the next year's or the next year's teams. I mean, he's not a good fit for what this team has. Now, granted, if you're just taking the best player available, then maybe you do take a flyer on Decker, but it doesn't work. I mean, and he probably wasn't rated as the best player available either.
Right.
And let's be honest, there's a lot of questions about his offensive potential and if he can shoot. So that's fine. And you know what? Decker's probably so much happier getting away from the spotlight. And are you kidding me? Landing with James Harden and Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
He's going to see space on a basketball floor that he didn't know existed.
Yeah, before. No doubt.
He's just going to be left alone in
a
corner.
Right. It's going to be beautiful for him. Now, there is some early buzz, even in Houston, that he might spend some time in the D League.
Which is crazy.
He's a little bit of a project, like many draft selections are. Pretty much out of the top 10 picks, you're not talking about guys that are going to step right in and be stars, with some rare, surprising exceptions. So interesting to see the Bucks take a young guy who has some injury history, like a few of the guys that were taken in the first round. Also very exciting to see local products get selected in the first round. It happened a few years ago when Lazar Hayward, who's not from Wisconsin but played at Marquette, went with the last pick of the first round. It was pretty cool because the difference in salary structure from a first round to a second round is so significant. So to see him go in the first round was so great. And the same thing happened this year with the Milwaukee Hamilton product, Kevon Looney, a freshman out of UCLA.
I'm also 92.7% sure that Jimmy Butler was the last pick of the first round.
Oh, okay. So maybe I'm confusing Butler and
Hayward? I think they both were.
Oh, they both were. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Butler with the Bulls, who has been one of those guys that has come from a later part of the first round and become a star.
Yeah.
But it's just a really good thing for the player individually. So yes. Looney.
And sorry, Looney, yeah, awesome.
That's awesome for him, and it's cool to see the Milwaukee area well represented. The NFL draft, we had two guys from Kenosha that were taken in the first round, and Trey Waynes and Melvin Gordon, obviously. And now in the NBA draft, we have Sam Decker from Sheboygan taken with the 19th pick, and Kevon Looney taken with, the 30th pick, 32nd
Correct.
Pick?
Yes.
30th pick of the first round. So really cool time for Wisconsin athletics. And then J.P. Tokoto from Menominee Falls taken in the second round by the 76ers with, like, two picks to go, 68th pick, I think. So a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
58th, yeah. A little nerve-wracking with you know, the North Carolina product coming out a year early, but still he does get drafted. Yeah.
And he made the decision to go to New York City, which was such a bold call.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy for him. But like that almost turned into a really short, really expensive vacation.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get
Especially
picked.
If you don't have a job right away.
But I'm so happy for him that it worked out. And I saw his family there and agent or advisor or whoever, and just really happy for him. The one negative spin is that usually you like to say, like, at a certain point, you kind of hope you're not drafted so that you can be a free agent. You can kind of pick your team.
The Wes Matthews principle.
Yeah, but then again, if you're going to pick a team, well, Philadelphia is just a group of college seniors, college graduates, college, I don't know.
What would be college underclassmen anyway.
Right? So you just go and compete with guys your age anyway. It's not like he's behind at all. So it actually worked out okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I bristle a little bit at the notion. There's certainly players who come out a year early and shouldn't have. And it's known early in the process that they probably should have stayed another year. Maybe they rise quickly on the board. Maybe they fall. It's easy to say because Tokoto left a year of eligibility on the table to do this and then gets taken late in the second round. It's easy to say, well, he made a mistake and should have come back for his senior year. There's a lot out there about how there probably wasn't a lot of room for him to go up. He kind of has a profile that he's not necessarily going to do anything in his senior year that's going to change the way scouts look at him. He was seen as an NBA player, not a first-round talent necessarily. So I think you could argue. I mean, he's going to play in the NBA, so he's going to get paid all next year. So it's a little bit unfair to say that it was a mistake to do what he did. I mean, there are players like Vanderbloom I know who kind of have fallen into that category in the past, but still, I think it is a success story for Tokidoa and the Menominee Falls product.
And, for instance, Brandon Ashley from Arizona, who some Wisconsin fans know, came out early, didn't get drafted.
Right. Well, so, I mean, how about Cliff Alexander from Kansas? I mean, he had an eligibility thing in the background there, but one of the top high school recruits in the country last year, he comes out after his freshman year, and he is not drafted as well. So, but again, like you said, sometimes that works to your favor. If you're a guy who can develop and become a regular NBA contributor, you can get paid a lot faster if you're a guy who goes undrafted than if you get a second-round contract.
But literally no matter what happens from here, J.B. Tokto gets to say he was an NBA draft pick.
That's right.
Which is really cool. And I've decided, I think somebody, this got lost in a storyline last night, talking about like who the biggest busts are and stuff like that. Like, I will never consider anybody who made it to the NBA via draft or got like a 10-day contract. Like, JP Tokuto can never be a bust for me.
No.
Like, you, dude, you made it. You can do whatever you want from here, and I will still say that you made it.
I still think you can call players busts depending on where they were drafted. But
no.
Whatever, JP. You have your philosophy, and I have mine.
Are you saying you didn't want Joe Alexander to make another go-around with the Bucks?
I think Joe Alexander is one of the
biggest... See Joe Dunk! See Joe Dunk!
Who did we see Joe dunk?
No,
did he dunk
did
one time?
No, he dunked a few times
in
the NBA, but he did not make the dunk contest, which is where See Joe Dunk came from.
Yes, I vaguely remember. I tried to sort of block out all Joe Alexander-related memories.
He dunked an Oreo on Charlie Bell in the break room. How did you black that out of your memory?
Really, Joe Alexander just needs to be not a chapter of Bucks history that I remember.
Nope. I'm reopening it.
Are we, speaking of histories, okay, so you still are pretty confident that this arena thing is going to happen,
yes.
Right? You haven't changed your mind on that.
Sure.
Okay, that's good. I was just checking in.
That's it? Just weekly check on JP crazy?
Because the longer this goes, the more tenuous it is, am I right? I mean, obviously there are a lot of political machinations that still have to come to pass, but...
Quit using the word machination.
Why? It's a good word.
No, it's
a very good word. It describes
just
a lot of things.
Things.
It's a great catch-all. Things is
things.
So not literary.
There are a lot of political things that need to go on.
No.
Yeah,
political
see,
machinations.
Nailed it.
You didn't. You sound lowbrow. You gotta sound
lowbrow. I work in TV. Of course I'm lowbrow.
You're right. The difference between our mediums is very clear.
Third grade level.
Unbelievable. So,
I think it'll get done.
So the Bucks will take another step forward in their maturation process, and kind of jumping over sort of to high school already, talking about Tokidoa and Looney, but in the actual high school game of basketball, some very interesting breaking news that came out yesterday or the day before.
Seemingly out of nowhere.
Seemingly out of nowhere. Now, this is the move was made by the WIAA on a one-year trial basis to go to 18-minute halves in varsity games. And so, typically, there have been 8-minute quarters. Four quarters, of course, 32 minutes. So to go to an 18-minute half is to add 4 minutes of basketball to every game. I believe JV games are going to be 16-minute halves, if I'm not mistaken. So they will retain the 32-minute time frame. So a totally different format now for basketball. I know it had been discussed, and I know in Minnesota they have halves instead of quarters. And I know coaches here that I've talked to have really liked that idea, but I don't remember thinking, oh, man, they're totally going to do this in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Very surprising, particularly with how slow things move in the WIAA, to suddenly make a change this dramatic. I love it, and I think a lot of coaches will too, but yeah, very surprised to see it come to pass.
Well, apparently every coach in Minnesota loves it.
Yeah,
like after
it's pretty
it went
universal.
Through, pretty much everybody loved it. So I like that. Like the two biggest reasons, I think, are one, you eliminate the dreadfully boring holding the ball at the end of each quarter.
Yes.
High school coaches are terrified to give up more points than they necessarily have to. So you'll find anywhere from 20 seconds up to 2 minutes, some teams will hold the ball while they're on offense and just watch the clock tick. So that way the other team doesn't get a chance to score. They'll get a chance to try and get the last basket. So that's one big one. Another one is that, in theory, longer game, you'll have more substitutions, you'll get more players involved. Am I correct? I hit the big two?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think the one issue that I hadn't thought of until I spoke to one of our area coaches was that officials are probably going to face the biggest change because they don't get that break now between quarters. I mean, they're working all the time. You know, the players can sub out. Like you said, there's going to be more opportunities for the 7th, 8th, 9th player on a rotation, but the officials are going to be working 18 straight minutes, and then
That's good. They'll be in better shape.
Well, theoretically, but not because they coach basketball or they officiate basketball. They're going to have to already be in better shape.
Yeah.
So you wonder if that's going to take a toll of late in halves and late in games. It's going to be dicey for them. But yeah, it's different. It's not super fundamental to the game of basketball. As dramatic a change as it is, it's not going to change the way the game is played outside of more substituting. So I like the I like it. I think it's going to be very well received. I know the media love it. The media who cover prep basketball,
and it'll more closely resemble the college game.
Of course, that's which super we need exciting.
Before they then go back to quarters in the NBA,
and then the trickle down effect is pretty dramatic. I'm actually surprised that the way that because neighboring state has this that we haven't seen it sooner.
Yep.
There's seemingly a lot of value to it.
Multiplier.
What about the multiplier?
Just saying other states have done it. Why don't we do it?
Oh, yeah, well, other states
Illinois did it.
Sort
Let's
of
do
done it.
It.
Yeah, but again, Illinois. Anyway, that's a whole other can of worms.
Sorry to distract you.
That's okay. I'm not distracted. The WIAA also has been kind of fighting, and we haven't really touched on this. Legislation came out, to oversimplify it, that stated students who play at, or athletes who are either homeschooled or playing at private schools could compete in their community at the public school in sports that they do not that are not currently offered at their own school. So, for example, if somebody at Lake Country Lutheran wanted to play lacrosse at Arrowhead, they could go up the street and play lacrosse. So the WIAA is vehemently fighting this. It's a very surprise. It was just kind of a surprising piece of legislation, a little bit out of nowhere, and the WIAA is strongly opposed to it, which is a rare
staunch,
offensive,
if you will.
Very staunch, rare offensive move for them. To circulate a petition to tell Wisconsin lawmakers that this can't happen, that it would be violating the ideals of kind of what they stand for.
Yeah, I would need to hear any reason from them before I even consider it a bad idea. What if a kid wants to play a sport that their school doesn't offer? I guess I'd probably need to hear more, but public or private, I don't really think they should have to suffer because the school that they're at doesn't offer it. I think if you don't have that, that would mean more transfers and more loopholes and more kids that aren't getting to do what they want. If it's just playing a sport, I would need to hear a reason before I even thought about that being a bad idea. I love it.
Yeah, their concern is turning the prep atmosphere into more of a club level sort of thing where, okay, I boys volleyball is a really good example because there's only a certain set of schools that offer that in the Milwaukee area. There are plenty of private schools, smaller private schools that don't have boys volleyball. So now those kids can just up and go. They'll be recruited. I mean, to play, do I play at, which high school do I play at? If I go to Martin Luther, do I play at Greendale or Greenfield? They might be co-op now that I think. No, I think they are separate. I don't remember.
But your point remains.
Yes, the point remains. I mean, it's... They want to stay away from that as
Kenosha,
much as they possibly
St. Joseph's
can.
To Tremper, Bradford,
exactly.
Indian Trail.
Yep, same
if
thing.
Any of those
I mean,
play
and there's Shoreland Lutheran down there. I mean, there are plenty of school of private schools in the southern part of the state there. So, it's a dangerous sort of slippery slope thing. The idea that you can be homeschooled and then get to play athletics in town seems a little bit counterintuitive.
I don't know why that would be a slippery slope.
Well, because, like I said, they want to stay away from the club atmosphere, the club mentality. They don't want it to turn into, this is the team that recruited the best because they're in the best metro area and they've got private schools that they can pull from. And they do have co-ops as sort of one way to deal with the lack of numbers in certain sports. Hockey is obviously the best example of that. So in their minds, they've already sort of addressed it. And if you don't go to a certain school, then that's part of the deal. You don't get to play the sport.
That's ridiculous to me that there are already so many co-ops, and that's exactly what a co-op is.
Well, sort of. I mean, they have to officially be part of it, and they have to pay money to be involved with it, and that sort of thing. I don't know. I think it's the WIA's stance is pretty strong, and it could be a little bit of an interesting on the, you know,
they're
on,
even using
on the
Twitter.
Court, in the
that's
court's
how
battle.
You know that they feel strong about
can
it.
Can
they,
I be honest with you?
They found a way to use their typewriters to send out some tweets.
I really like a lot of the people affiliated with the WIAA. They do a great job. Their Twitter account is a hot mess.
It's literal
they're
garbage.
So bad. They're
it's
so bad.
Literal
I'm not
going
to go as far as literal garbage. But they really just need somebody to come in there and teach them how to do the social media thing. Because it's a struggle for
if
them.
Only you
the
could,
struggle is real.
If only you could bring somebody in, like let's say maybe like a college student, but then like not pay them, maybe like have them work kind of like for free or like credit, and they could help you with that sort of thing.
Yes.
I don't know, like have them, you know, interned in your office. But I don't know what word for that.
I mean, they know how to use it. It just they frequently post incorrect information, and they kind of have just strange, random updates. Congratulations to Aquinas,
by the way. State champions in baseball, according to the Twitter feed.
Yeah, that's not accurate. There were a few missteps along the way.
God, I've made mistakes on Twitter.
Of course, we have too. Let us throw the first stones about our Twitter mishaps. But yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
Hire an intern. There,
somebody who doesn't
it.
Take slanty pictures at the soccer game where you get like a wide view or a narrow view of what's going on.
Look, we used Vine.
We did.
Can't see anything.
Nope, doesn't work. And so we did have state baseball. You brought it up, state soccer, since we last chatted. Lake Country Lutheran and Milwaukee Lutheran both winning from our area in baseball championships.
There's a new column. What's with all the Lutheran kids winning baseball titles, huh?
Great week for the Lutheran Association of Greater Milwaukee. They don't get that level of success at those schools.
Kinda,
I mean, Lake Country Lutheran has, but
to all Lutheran schools.
Oh my goodness, I knew you were going to try that. So a good week for them, and then the soccer team, Lake Country Lutheran soccer and baseball teams were playing at the same time, baseball in the state title game, and then the soccer team won in a shootout in the state semifinal. They wound up falling in a shootout in the final, but a big week for them. And actually, Evan Frank, one of my colleagues, wrote a great column about that, about sort of the bond that those two teams have at lakecountrynow.com. Aww. You can also read his account of the Oconomowoc baseball team, made it to the Division I state semifinals. He's a CUNY grad. He got to talk a little bit about his experience covering his alma mater as they ended up battling for the state championship, falling in the semifinals. Logan Wan, Tri-State Player of the Year for Oconomowoc, just a stud. Had an incredible year. I think his ERA was 0.30 or something. He had a 1-0 shutout win over Bayport, your boys, Alec Ingold and friends, and Connor Hawk, the pitcher who's going to Notre Dame. It was a great duel between two Division I pitchers. It was outstanding. 1-0 Division I quarterfinal game.
Yeah, baseball was crazy with Lake Country
Lutheran.
It was great.
Yeah.
That game, Lake Country Lutheran was up, I'm going to say,
2-1.
2-1 or 3-2?
It was 2-1.
2-1, gave up 3 runs in the top of the 7th. 3
Make
runs.
Make it 4-2.
In the top of the 7th. It is now 4-2 Aquinas. Hopes dashed. Chances gone. And then they come back and score 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th to win it.
Yep.
Freaking awesome.
2-out, 2-run single by a sophomore, Joe Lipsky, won the game.
The old Lipsky comes through again.
He was not part of the team last year that won a state championship in Division 4. This year they were up in Division 3. So just as high drama as you could get. And I believe 3 of the 4 state title games were 1-run games, and 1 was a 2-run game. And I know 1 was a 1-0 game. The Division 4 game was a 1-0 game. So just a ton of drama at state baseball this year.
Drama.
At Fox City Stadium in Appleton, formerly Time Warner Cable Field.
Correct. No comment on
no
the matter.
Comment. No.
I cannot legally comment.
You can't? Is that true?
Yes.
That's fascinating. I have to know more.
No, it's not true.
Oh, okay. I figured you might be lying there.
Only
so,
to you.
You know we should talk about politics, don't you?
Okay, sure. I'm down.
Okay. It's pretty heavy political climate in the state of United States.
You can't say political climate.
What's wrong with that?
Because then people are going to get mad at you.
Why?
I don't know. Just that's how intense the political climate is.
No.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, today the big story was that the Supreme Court ruled in
SCOTUS.
Yes, yeah, SCOTUS, if you will, which is a very uncomfortable word. I don't like
it.
No.
Do you like POTUS?
I don't.
Do you like FLOTUS?
I don't.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know what
so
it
no
is.
Otis's?
The Otis's just don't work for me.
Okay.
I can't explain it.
Do you like Otis Redding?
I do, but that's Otis with a T-I-S.
Correct.
That doesn't bother me.
Okay.
He's a one-hit wonder. I mean, he was a very good one-hit
he's
wonder.
He's probably dead, too. He,
he's
way to
super
go.
Dead. He went in a plane crash.
Really?
Yeah.
I learned something today.
Oh, you shouldn't. Okay. You're
Why
so
did
young.
You bring up politics?
Oh, because, anyway, not even about today with the ruling on gay marriage, but the ruling, or I shouldn't say the ruling, just the pressure on South Carolina and Mississippi, sort of by extension, to take down their Confederate flags in the wake of the shootings in Charleston is kind of, I think, generated a broader debate, or will generate a broader debate eventually, about a lot of symbols in society, notably mascots, race-based mascots. I wrote about this a little bit at lakecountrynow.com this week. I think the Washington Redskins mascot's been out there as sort of this ridiculous racial stereotype, and that needs to change. Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, has been very staunch in not allowing that to happen.
Love that word.
I think this flag thing is going to be a catalyst for a broader conversation that extends into sports pretty deeply. I think people are kind of coming to terms with the fact that the flag is a symbol of, has been appropriated as a symbol of hate, regardless of what the initial intent of it was, and that it sends the wrong message. The same thing is true of the Washington Redskins. That's got to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. that this has been allowed to be preserved as long as it has. I think the Cleveland Indians are going to run into the same boat. I think college campuses are going to have to readdress this issue again. And ultimately, I think high schools are going to have to address it again. And you, in communities like Menominee Falls, Maguanago, Keewaskum, we use the Indians mascot. I think eventually we are on the path where those get eliminated altogether. I don't know if it'll be because of politics or public pressure or dollar amounts or just people coming to terms with, you know, that it might be time, but I
think being on the wrong side of history.
That's a very, very important thing. Yep. I think a lot of people are going to look at it that way. And so I don't know if it's 5 years, 10 years, but I definitely think this is going to start the ball moving a little faster down the hill.
I think it's really interesting. I could really make some pretty good arguments, trust me. Either way, on the one hand, like, it really doesn't matter, especially when we're talking on the local level. Like, it doesn't, it's a high school mascot. Like, it really means nothing. Like, when you change from the Indians to the Warriors or anything like that, or to the Spartans, like, it really doesn't define you or anything your school does. It's a color change, and it's a name, and that's about it. Like, and you'll get over it.
And I agree with that. I think what I've said before is, I mean, I love my mascot of Kakana, the Galloping Ghosts. I like that it's unique. It's different. If they were to change tomorrow to the Lancers or something that I consider boring, it'd be kind of disappointing, I guess. But it would definitely not change how I feel about Kakana High School or how I look at my past or anything. I mean, I would still be fine
with
it.
How you look at your past, like you question your identity, like, who am I?
I know. Well, I think that's part of it, and part of it is that it's not fair to these people that they've been Indians their whole lives. Their parents were, in some cases their grandparents were. I mean, it's not like
this. Are you talking about actual Indians or or like Menominee
Falls?
Maguanago
or Menominee Falls Indians. So they,
I don't know if you're talking about like actual Indians who have been Indians their whole life.
I'm not. This is not a symbol that they even chose. I mean, this is just what was kind of presented to them. And it's not fair to say to them, look, either you change or we just can, I mean, you're just racist if you don't want to change. Yeah. That's kind of unfair. But at the same time, you kind of have to come to terms with, okay, it's 2015. The symbol isn't maybe what it was in the 1950s or 40s, and at some point you got to say to yourself, there is a better option out there.
Yeah, and I don't know, and it's so, like, are you really offended by, I don't know, like, Cleveland Indians does not offend me.
Right, you know? I understand that.
Like, Maguanago Indians does not offend me, even though, like, Maguanago itself is not an Indian tribe, correct? It's an Indian word.
Oh, right, yeah, place of the
meeting
bear.
Meeting of the bear.
Clan of the bear.
Like that.
I've got that wrong.
So
but
that changed my stance a little bit. Like, when I thought Maguanago was an actual tribe, I'm like, well, no, it's a tribe of Indians. They're the Indians.
Sure,
then I learned that it was just an Indian word.
And the vast majority of, not vast majority, but many Wisconsin cities and towns are Indian, Native American words.
Quite a few. That's a fun game to play. Like, name as many towns as you can that start with Wa.
Sure.
Or like, that end with Key.
Sure. Wauwatosa, Waukesha, Pewaukee, Oconomowoc, Maguanago, Muskego.
Okay, well, then you took my game and ruined it.
I did.
That's fine.
Yes, we could do that with irrelevant brewers, too.
Oh, God. So, anyway, I'm not offended by any of this, but I get it if people want to change, and it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I
agree. Like, if you're the Redskins, you make so much more money by coming up with a new name, new jerseys, new, I mean.
Yep.
They're actually missing out here.
I would tend to agree. I guess it's some sort, it's a principle thing, I guess. And I can understand it. People don't want to be told that their way of looking at things is wrong, especially if it's debatable like this is. And I'm guessing Daniel Snyder just doesn't want to be told that he's being non-PC or something. But, I mean, at some point, they're just, you have to be able to look at that thing, in that mascot, and say it's the same as the flag in South Carolina. It's a symbol. At the very least, it sends the wrong or mixed message. Mm-hmm. And you just don't want that. Not representing your organization.
Yeah.
So, interested to see if the momentum does carry through. Like I said, you could check out my column on the matter at lakecountrynow.com.
Nice plug.
Yes. Also talked a lot about golf at lakecountrynow.com. Last week I interviewed Matt Newman, a former colleague of mine who's now at golf.com, about the golf scene in Wisconsin, about the golf scene in general, about Tiger, about Jordan Spieth, who happened to then win the United States Open.
Literally, I am more relevant to the sport of golf than Tiger Woods.
That's what I asked him. I said, can we stop talking about Tiger? Why do we keep talking about Tiger? Why is that always, every time we talk about golf, it's got to mention Tiger?
No, it doesn't.
Well, that's what I asked him. I asked him, does it? He says it does. He says that the game of golf, the professional game, will suffer when Tiger is gone.
I do not care.
Well,
I will.
Sure,
my interest has ramped up in the last probably 2 to 3 years. honestly, since he went down, like when he was in that weird time of 2009 to 2012,
right?
I think was probably like my lowest point. And now, since he has basically gone away, my interest has gone up.
Right. I understand. That's probably true for some people, but it is not true for everyone.
Oh, it's infuriating.
I don't care for Tiger Woods either. In fact, I am far more fascinated by Jordan Spieth, who, like I said, won the U.S. Open, and now you were golfing Aaron Hills, because in a couple years, Aaron Hills will host the U.S. Open.
Yep.
Whistling Straits and Kohler, as we know, hosting the 2017 PGA Championship.
2015
PGA Championship. August
16th through the 22nd.
There you go. And if Jordan Spieth wins the British Open, now that he's won the first two, the first two jewels.
No, 10th through the 16th. Sorry.
Okay.
Wanted to get it right.
He's won the first two majors. He'll go to England and try to win or Scotland and try to win the British Open. And if he does, it's going to be pretty crazy in Wisconsin.
Amazing.
I mean, honestly, as a Wisconsin person, you just have to cheer for Jordan Spieth, don't you? Because of what it would bring for the PGA Championship. I don't even know how that would be coverable. It would be such an insanity.
Such a big, big story that you almost kind of don't know how you could possibly do it justice.
Yeah.
And like get all the proper angles that you need to do. But that'll be it'll be the center of the sports world, without a doubt.
Yep.
No matter what's going on in August, playoff races in baseball, NFL training camps. I think August, so that'll be like the first preseason game, probably. High school football starts.
Yep,
the week after.
It's going to be a nutty week.
I'm going to start crying.
You're not going to start crying. So you just played Whistling Straits and then you played Aaron Hills.
No, Whistling Straits is July 6th.
Oh, sorry. You have yet to play Whistling Straits.
Like 8 days.
Okay, and you have played it before or no?
Yes, I have.
So which course is tougher?
We'll find out on our next podcast.
I can't believe you're going to do that. You're going to tease the fans.
Let's use accurate comparisons.
All right, that sounds good. Yes, because today's Whistling Straits may not have been when you played it last.
I last played in 2010.
Okay, wow, 5 years ago. So.
Yeah.
So we'll have to go a full rundown. Which course is better?
Love it. I get to talk about me on the podcast.
And about your golf game specifically.
Yes.
Which is pretty much like on the journalist top 10 things people don't care about list that people talk about anyway. Air travel is number one. When journalists on Twitter complain about air travel, that is the worst. And
media room meals, number two.
My goodness. If I have to hear on 1250 them talk about what one guy is doing at the media buffet one more time, it's old. It's over. Let it go. The joke is done. Now you've gotten my blood boiling.
Good. All right, get out of here then.
What are you talking about on your Time Warner Cable Sports Channel?
Not much.
No.
There's still some Packer stories that we hadn't gotten to. Nick Perry, I think, was one of them.
He has been repaired recently.
So some Packers leftovers. The Aaron Hills, we kind of glossed over it. There was actually work there. So part of the reason why we get to go is because they say, all right, that's what Chambers Bay was. This is what Aaron Hills is. This is why it's going to be different. So some press conferences detailing that stuff. The governor was even there to talk about the economic impact, which was pretty cool. It's really weird. I've seen him like three times in the past couple months now.
He's all up into Wisconsin sports.
He is. It's really weird because I never really thought I'd ever cover a governor. But anyway.
I see him every year. He's from Wauwatosa, which is where I live. So I see him walking in the Wauwatosa Parade on the 4th of July.
Nice. Yes. Okay. So Packers, lots of NBA draft stuff, and then Aaron Hills.
That's
what I got.
Now, to explain Chambers Bay. That's the previous sort of iteration of Aaron Hills.
Okay. So Chambers Bay was in Pacific Northwest, and it's basically, Chambers Bay is more really like Whistling Straits because it was built out of nothing.
Okay.
Like it was built on a gravel pit. And the problem with Chambers Bay is that they have, I've learned, it's called like Poa annua. It's basically a weed, but it's really kind of grass. That's what made the greens look so terrible and so bumpy, is because it's a longer, it grows faster and it follows the sun, so it creates like these bumps on it. So that's what made the green so terrible, and we don't really have that here.
Okay.
We do a little bit. It's a weed. You can't really get rid of it, but it's way more under control. And that was more, Chambers Bay was more of a traditional link style, in that you can hit the ball 50 yards short of the green and it will still roll up. Whereas Aaron Hills, they're called more fly shots, where it's more of a normal golf course, but it's just spectacular. And the scenery is absolutely amazing.
Okay.
It will be a treat.
All right. Yeah, I thought somebody was comparing Chambers Bay sort of to what you might see at St. Andrews in terms of just speed of the greens and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never been there and know nothing of it, but that's interesting that they would offer that comparison. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, we could talk more about JP's golf game later. Yes. Of course, at LakeCountryNow.com, you can read all of our recent stories. We did a big thing on Ben Bredesen of Arrowhead High School committing to play offensive line for the University of Michigan.
You guys are everywhere.
It was a big announcement. We were the first to have that full story with comments from Ben, so we were pretty excited about that one. And yeah, you can read my Preps Alcove, among other things.
You're just everywhere. I love it.
You're everywhere.
Love your work.
You don't love my work.
Love your work.
You can't wait till I leave. I come here with my little microphone to do this podcast, and you're like, when are you leaving?
Sometimes I come to you.
Yeah, sometimes you do come to me once every 6 to 7 weeks.
And you make me sit outside the door and just wait until you come get me.
You're not my first priority, JP. What do you want me to say?
All right, everybody, this has been Initial Reaction. Thank you for listening. Have a great 4th of July, because we will not talk to you until that is over.
Most likely,
Because I am leaving and getting out of here.
Because you take vacation every freaking month.
Because I work every other month.
I don't know what you're doing. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Shh. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, friends.